Shri Rudra Vacha. Our Lord Shiva began to speak. Gitam. All glories. Te. Unto you. Atmavit.
Self-realized.
Varya. The best. Swastaye.
Unto the auspicious.
Swastihi.
Auspiciousness.
Astu.
Let there be.
May.
Of me.
Bhavata.
By you.
Aradasa.
By the all perfect.
Radam.
Worshipable.
Sarvasmai.
The supreme soul.
Atmane.
Unto the supreme soul.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Translation: Lord Shiva addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the following prayer. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you. You are the most exalted of all self-realized souls, since you are always auspicious for the self-realized. I wish that you be auspicious for me. You are worshipable by virtue of the all-perfect instructions you give. You are the Supersoul, and therefore I offer my obeisances unto you as a supreme living being. You can repeat. Lord Shiva addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lord Shiva addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
With the following prayer.
With the following prayer.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
O Supreme Personality of
Godhead. All glories unto you.
All glories unto you.
You are the most exalted.
You are the most exalted.
Of all self-realized souls.
Of all self-realized souls.
Since you are always auspicious.
Since you are always auspicious.
For the self-realized.
For the self-realized.
I wish that you be auspicious for me.
I wish that you be auspicious for me.
You are worshipable by virtue.
You are worshipable by virtue.
Of the all-perfect instructions you give.
Of the all-perfect instructions you give.
You are the super soul.
You are the super soul.
Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you.
Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you.
As a supreme living being.
As a supreme living being.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. As soon as a devotee is inspired by the Lord to offer the Lord a prayer, the devotee immediately glorifies the Lord in the beginning by saying, "All glories unto you, my Lord." The Lord is glorified because He is considered to be the chief of all self-realized souls. As said in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Nityo Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the chief living being amongst all living beings. There are different kinds of individual living beings. Some of them are in this material world and some are in the spiritual world. Those who are in the spiritual world are known to be completely self-realized because on the spiritual platform, the living entity is not forgetful of his service to the Lord. Therefore, in the spiritual world, all those who are in the devotional service of the Lord are eternally fixed, for they understand the position of the Supreme Being as well as their individual constitution. Thus, among self-realized souls, the Lord is known as the perfectly self-realized soul. Nityo Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. When the individual soul is fixed in his knowledge of the Lord as the Supreme Being, he actually becomes established in an all-auspicious position. Lord Shiva prays herein that his auspicious position continue eternally by virtue of the Lord's mercy upon him. The Supreme Lord is all-perfect, and the Lord instructs that one who worships him also becomes perfect. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, text 15, Matak Smritir Jnanam Apoanam Cha. The Lord is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart, but he is so kind to his devotees that he gives them instructions by which they may continue to progress. When they receive instructions from the all-perfect, there is no chance of their being misled. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text 10. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upayanti te. The Lord is always ready to give instructions to the pure devotee, so that the devotee can advance further and further in devotional service. Since the Lord gives instructions as Sarvatma, the Supersoul, Lord Shiva offers him respect with the words, Sarvatma Atmane Namaha. The individual soul is called Atma, and the Lord is also called Atma as well as Paramatma. Being situated in everyone's heart, the Lord is known as the Supreme Atma. Therefore, all obeisances are offered unto him. In this regard, one may refer to the prayers of Kunti in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, text 20. Tata paramahaṃ saṇaṃ muninam amalātmanam bhakti yoga vidhānārtham katham vasyemahi striyaha. The Lord is always ready to give instructions to the paramahaṃsas, or the topmost devotees of the Lord, who are completely liberated from all contaminations of the material world. The Lord always gives instructions to such exalted devotees to inform them how they can remain fixed in devotional service. Similarly, it is stated in the Atmarama verse in the Bhagavatam 1st canto, 7th chapter, text 10. Atmaramas chamuniyo nigranta paya rukrame kurvancha haitukim bhaktim itam bhuta guno harahi. The word Atmarama refers to those who are not interested in the material world but are simply engaged in spiritual realization. Such self-realized persons are generally considered in two categories, impersonal and personal. However, impersonalists also become devotees when they are attracted by the personal transcendental qualities of the Lord. The conclusion is that Lord Shiva wanted to remain a fixed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. As explained in the following verses, Lord Shiva never desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord like the impersonalists. Rather, he thinks that it would be good fortune for him to continue to be fixed in the understanding of the Lord as the Supreme Being. By this understanding, one realizes all living entities, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and other demigods, are servants of the Supreme Lord. So, Shirudra Vacha Jitam Taatma Vidvarya Swastaye Swastirastume Bhavata Radhasa Radham Sarvasmatmane Namaha. So, Omaganath Timuranda Shah Granjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yeda Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. As it is very apparent from this particular verse and the instructions we've been given by Srila Prabhupada, that God is a person, and being a person, he has personal characteristics. Of course, the characteristics being described here in this prayer are personal characteristics, but they're more, let's say, in terms of Krishna's position rather than Krishna being a person. There's a difference between the two. Just like you have the names of God, there are primary names and secondary names of Krishna. The primary name of Krishna, of course, Krishna, Rama, Nrisimha, Balaram, Lakshman. These are all primary names of Krishna. And secondary names are like the names mentioned here. Like the Sarvatma, the soul of all souls, or Sarvashmai, the supreme soul. So these are secondary names of Krishna. So basically, Lord Shiva is utilizing secondary names of Krishna here rather than primary names of Krishna. But when we actually talk, as Srila Prabhupada said here, impersonalists also become devotees when they are attracted by the personal transcendental qualities of the Lord. Then we have to talk more about, like, Krishna is a person rather than his position. That's really what attracts people. I mean, basically what's been mentioned here in this verse is something that's present in every religion or every tradition, practically every bona fide religious tradition. You know, God is all-pervading, he's all-knowing, he's nice, he's in your heart. All these things are there. He is all-powerful, you know, all the O's. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all these things are there. So this is not really a high stage of love of God that is being described here, although Lord Shiva is on a high stage of love of God. High stage of love of God is to love God because of who he is rather than what he does. In other words, like to love him because of his characteristics and his intimate pastimes rather than his position. Not his ontological position, but actually his personality, characteristics, and lila. So this is actually what the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for. And in order to appreciate Krishna on that level, one has to really have the mercy of Krishna, which comes through his pure devotee. Even, I was reading before that, even the incarnations of Krishna can't appreciate him on that level unless they have Krishna's mercy. And I'll tell a story that illustrates that. Once upon a time, and Prabhupada comments on this in the Krishna book, once upon a time, Krishna was in Dwarka, and he was with his devotee, Arjuna. And even in Dwarka, there's intimate relationships. Of course, they don't get as intimate as the relationships get in Vrindavan or Braj. So what happened was that, this is a story of the Krishna book that hopefully you all know, that a brahmana's sons were dying immediately after they were born, one after the other. And the brahmana went to the king, Ugrasena, who was the king there, and he complained. Because nowadays, you don't really go to the king or the president when you have some health issues or, you know, people die. Unless, of course, now in certain countries, they're the ones who kill the people, like in certain countries in the Middle East. But really, would you hold Barack Obama responsible for, let's say, the death of your son? I don't think so. Or let's say you have some back problem and you write a letter to the president, you know, I have a back problem. Huh? It's all due to your fault because you're not protecting me, you know, whatever, huh? Of course, the criminals and criminal activity we generally blame the government for. That's a different issue. But in this case, we understand that the king is responsible for all the things auspicious and inauspicious that occur in the kingdom. That things happen because of, you know, basically because of people's karma. Like we see all the tornadoes that have recently happened. Even in Massachusetts, there was a tornado yesterday, and people were killed. I mean, it's highly unlikely. I mean, it's one thing if you're in Kansas and your name is Dorothy. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to. You know, the Wizard of Oz. I mean, Kansas is like, you know, plain, that means it's flat. And so, but now, so many tornadoes and earthquakes and everything like this is the most tornadoes this year. And so, you know, I'm not predicting that the world's coming to an end, or, you know, global warming. I'm not like these people saying that, you know, on June 15th, world's coming to end, so everybody give up your job or anything like it. But whatever happens in this world is due to karma. And a country has karma. Individuals have karma like that. So that's it. So basically, the king is responsible for, you know, the karmic activities, either the karmic or good karma, which is called karma sometimes, activities in the kingdom. He's responsible for making sure there's good karmic activities or at least devotional service going on in the kingdom. So basically the Brahmin went and he complained to Krishna. And he said, you know, you're not, what kind of king, what kind, Krishna and Ugrasena, what kind of government are you running here? You know, no social security. But so he's, what kind of government are you running? There's basically, you know, by sons keep dying, disappearing. Not only dying, disappearing. And so Arjuna Arjuna being a little proud, what did he say? He said, there may be Krishna here, but, I'm Arjuna with my mighty Gandiva bow. And, if I'm not going to permit any of your children to die, and if any of them children die, then I will actually directly enter into the fire and leave my body. Okay, so he goes outside the Brahmin's house. And the Brahmin, Brahmin's wife actually has the baby. And the baby dies again. And Arjuna is not able to do anything about it because the person who was stealing the baby was Mahavishnu. Okay. That's not the reason I'm telling the story. So Arjuna gets ready to kill himself, enter into the fire. And Krishna doesn't like that idea. Because Krishna loves Arjuna so much that he says in other places, in the Mahabharata, he says, I cannot bear to live in this world without Arjuna there. So that's a personal characteristic of Krishna. That's in the case where Arjuna vows to kill Jayadratha or enter into the fire. Kshatriyas take all these interesting vows that unless I do this day, I'm going to kill myself. I mean, you find this throughout the Mahabharata. Arjuna also took a vow, if anyone insults my Gandiva bow, I'm going to kill him. So one time he almost killed Yudhisthira. Because Yudhisthira got upset because Arjuna left the battlefield to see how he was doing. And Yudhisthira was injured. And Yudhisthira said, what's the use of your Gandiva bow? You're just not acting very heroically. And Arjuna got ready to kill him. And Krishna had to figure a way that Arjuna could kill Yudhisthira without killing him. And that way was insulting Yudhisthira. That's a type of killing. Anyway, so it's interesting how these Kshatriyas take all these weird vows. If I can't, just like we're saying, if we can't build this temple in 2 years, I'm gonna enter into the fire, into the Jamuna and drown myself. Hare Krishna. So Kshatriyas are like that. They do take vows. And we take, Brahmins take vows too, but those vows are like, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, I'm going to devote my life to Krishna, chant my Gayatri mantras, all these things. Those are other vows. So Arjuna, he was getting ready to enter into the fire. And Krishna said, no, I'm not going to allow that. And so Krishna and Arjuna got on the chariot, and they were able to go to see Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu had taken them. And the reason Mahavishnu had taken the kids is because Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. So Prabhupada poses the rhetorical question there in the Krishna book. He says, why didn't Mahavishnu see Krishna in Dwarka? Because he was the one stealing the kids. It would have been a lot easier than stealing the kids just to go to, isn't it? Just to go to Dwarka and just knock on Krishna's door. Who's there? Mahavishnu. That would have been an interesting story in Krishna book. Mahavishnu shows up and sees Krishna playing with his kids. But so why didn't he do that? Because Prabhupada explained that basically that Krishna can only be seen when he allows himself to be seen. That even Mahavishnu in Dwarka couldn't see Krishna. It's interesting, isn't it? Read the Krishna book. This is directly from Krishna book. It's not just my fertile mind coming up with something. So even Mahavishnu, unless Krishna wanted himself to be seen by Mahavishnu, could not see Krishna. And of course, Krishna says, in the Gita, it said, Naham prakasha savrasya yogamaya samavrita. Of course, Mahavishnu is not envious of Krishna, but he says that for those who are envious of me, I cover them with my deluding potency, yogamaya. And then also he says, bhaktyamam abhijanati. I can be seen only by unalloyed devotional service. But it's basically, even if you are unalloyed, it's up to Krishna when he wants to show you himself. So what do we do in the meantime when Krishna's not showing himself to us? For me, just to be in the mood of awe and reverence is really hard. We hear all these prayers here, and I appreciate the prayers, and I'm reverent, oh my Lord, oh Mahavishnu, or auspicious personality, got it. But it doesn't give us the nectar that we're always anxious for. So what we should do in the meantime when we can't see Krishna, because that comes, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, you see Krishna when you come to the platform of prema. Not in bhava, but prema. Unless Krishna does make some exceptions, like in the case of Narada Muni, in previous life, of course, Narada Muni was a little kid, his mother was killed, he was wandering around, and he saw Krishna for a little while, and then Krishna disappeared. So, you know, sometimes Krishna does make little exceptions for us. Don't think that you're going to be the exception. So, what we have to do is hear about the personal characteristics of Krishna. I was thinking about this yesterday, about Krishna's, how Krishna is just a person. I mean, that may come as a radical statement. You know, we hear this all the time. But what does it mean that Krishna is a person? Just like, what does a person have? A person has all sorts of emotions. You know, generally you don't think of God with emotions, like especially depression. You know, emotion, God has like a full spectrum of emotions. I mean, you would think, you know, maybe he's joyful. Yeah, sure, I can figure that one out. Maybe he likes controlling people. Yeah, he's God. I mean, you know, if you ask, like, what is... If you ask someone outside of Krishna consciousness, what is God's emotional spectrum, you know? Well, he's happy. And they can figure out he dances. But anything else, you know, emotional things?
Jealous.
He's jealous. Yeah, sure, he gets jealous, you know, and he gets angry. Anger too, we can figure out, is being present in God, right? You know, because you really hear about him smashing people, you know, these poor Egyptians. They were trying to follow those rascal Jews as they were leaving Egypt. And he just, like, drowned them all. And he killed the firstborn, right? Did that? The firstborn of all the Egyptians and anyone who didn't smear the lamb's blood on their door. You know, anyway, that's from the Bible. And God will... They use this word, the word smote. That's an ancient English word. Smite. If there's a smite, I will smite you, and God smote them. You ever hear that? God smotes the Egyptians. And so you think, you know, God has certain emotions, you know, but, you know, the emotions that someone in power would have, you know, like anger, control, you know, and he may sit and watch a dancing performance once in a while. But as far as the emotions, you know, of depression, you know, clinical stuff. Then you can't really think that God exhibited that. But I was reading, hearing the Ramayana, and it was interesting when Sita Devi was taken away. I mean, first there was anger. There was a lot of anger. Lord Ram was ready to smote the entire creation. You know, he said, you know, if I don't see Sita within an hour, you know, this. Everything's gone. You know, you're all finished. All the aquatics, all the humans, the demigods, the mandaras, the apsaras. You know, you're all finished, buddy. Unless you see me. See, even he threatened a mountain. He said, you know, okay, mountain, you're going to be finished unless you tell me where Sita is. So he was, you know, there was definitely a little anger there in the beginning. But there was basically, but he exhibited depression. And so... Depression means that he just said, I'm going to just sit here and die. You know, perhaps you say, one of your patients says that to you, you know, say, you know, time for Prozac. That's a Prozac moment. Anyway, so he said, I'm going to sit here and die. You know, how can I face, you know, anxiety too? How can I face Janaka and tell him, you know, he's going to ask me, you know, how's the Sita with the lotus eyes doing? How's my daughter? You know, Janaki. And actually the people who are generally called, in the Ramayana you find them called according to their family, like mightily is a Sita's name in the Ramayana. Because she was from Mithila, the Maithili, the girl from Mithila. It's really interesting how the names they call the different personalities. So then he becomes so depressed. I said, I'm just, Lakshman, you go back. You rule the kingdom with Bart. I'm just going to stay here and die. I'm not going to do anything. And it's just like, and then later on, when he gets to the Pampa, Pampa is right surrounding Mount Vishnubhuk, where the monkeys are. It's springtime. And in springtime, it's described with all, like you hear the birds, because they're in the summer. Even though it's spring, it's summer here. But you hear the birds chirping? So the birds were chirping, and the lotuses were coming out, and the lotuses reminded him of Sita Devi, her eyes, and, you know, whatever. And he just got depressed again. You know, he just started crying. He said, I would walk here with Sita. Can you imagine people in other, you know, religious traditions hearing about that? You know, God walking with his wife and being depressed because she's not there and crying. And just like, he just falls to the ground like in a puddle of tears. Rama's just in a puddle of tears. And then in that case, the roles sort of switch, because usually Lakshman is the one with the heavy emotions. And, you know, Rama's the one who's saying, cool it, bro. So he's saying, cool it, you know, because Lakshman wants to, you know, one point he wants to kill Bart because he thinks Bart's Rama's enemy. And then Rama has to say, you know, just calm down, Lakshman. But in this case, Lakshman becomes a psychiatrist. And psychologist, sorry, no drugs. So he starts preaching to Ram. He said, talks about karma, and he talks about, we'll get her back, don't worry, you know, feel good about life, you got to be positive, you're mighty armed, you got to set a good example. So he keeps preaching to Ram, and Ram just listens. He gains his composure. You imagine God loses himself, you know, loses it. And then then he regains his composure. And then later on, when they go to Mount Rishimukh, and he meets Sugriva, and he tells Sugriva, they make friendship, and he tells Sugriva about what his mission is, then Sugriva says, yes, a few months ago, we saw an airplane flying by. Not an airplane, sorry. It was a big Rakshasa with a lady on his lap. And she was crying out, Ram, Ram, Ram. And then she dropped a portion of her upper garments and jewels and ankle bells and things like that. And we have them in the cave. Would you like to see them? And Sugriva goes into the cave, brings them out, and shows them to Ram. And Ram just like falls on the ground. You know, nobody can say anything to him. He's just crying uncontrollably. It's amazing, isn't it? And so, you know, when people hear about these things, of course, unless someone knows the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they'll think, you know, you people have just gone weird. You know, God crying on the ground uncontrollably? Why doesn't he just, like, raise his finger and just, like, poof? But they don't understand the principle of Leela, how Krishna enjoys much more these sorts of activities. You may say, enjoying? How does one enjoy a depression? In the material world, everything's miserable. Depression or elation. Because it's just cyclical. You know, like everybody's manic depressive in this world. You have your ups and your downs. Just like, you know, last night I was reading about Ram's pastimes, and then I open my email and find out something happened in Fiji. Oh. So it's ups and downs. Ups and downs, isn't it? Ups and downs. But In the spiritual world, even depression is ecstatic. It's hard to understand that, isn't it? Because everything is there in the spiritual realm. So I was just appreciating how wonderful God is, that he's feeling like this. You know, feeling Vipralamba, the separation from Sita Devi, and romantic. You know, there's all this romantic things. You tell people God is romantic? Huh? He's love struck, you know, he's putting flowers in his beloved's hair. He's, you know, can you imagine you tell that in a Catholic church? Because the nuns, they actually say when they take their vows, they say, "We accept Jesus as our husband." That's interesting. But they don't really think about what that means. Hopefully they don't. Because they wouldn't understand philosophically how to deal with the whole thing. So can you imagine, you know, God is love struck, you know, he's depressed, ready to kill himself. That's real depression, you know, suicidal ideation. That's really difficult. So it's amazing. It's simply amazing. Or let's go to Krishna's pastimes, too, where Krishna sees his friends marching to the Agasura demon. And Krishna gets bewildered, you know, he gets unhappy, depressed, can't figure out what to do. Finally, he figures it out. But still, there's a time where Krishna just feels very unhappy about the whole thing. So this really helps us develop a personal relationship with God, which is really what we're meant to do. To develop a personal, intimate relationship by hearing about these things. In other words, hearing about God's personality, like Prabhupada says here. I mean, hearing what we're reading in this verse can develop some sense of appreciation. That's true. You know, God is guiding us. He's giving us good direction in the heart. He's always our well-wisher. He's supplying all the needs of all the living entities. That's good. I mean, that's the first step. But ultimately, you know, to really be absorbed, what I'm talking about is differentiates our Krishna consciousness presentation, the presentation given by Prabhupada and the Acharyas from the others, is the intimate understanding of God as a person with all the variegated personal attributes. So we should concentrate on Krishna like that. And, you know, therefore devotees are worried about Krishna. Like we have our deity worship. That's another methodology. That we're worried about the deity service. You know, if you say to the Christians, you know, worried about God eating today, huh? What's wrong with you? I mean, we like your universal form, but the rest of it, you know, we can't relate to. Isn't it? You're worried about, you know, God getting enough flowers, the mean old person is trying to keep you from getting flowers for God. I mean, young person. Anyway, he's trying to keep, you know, he's interfering, and so you're developing anger because you don't want God to have flowers or nice food or anything like that. So it's real personal. In other words, even when there's some argument with someone, when you got to chew someone out for 3 or 4 hours, it's all based on God being a person, isn't it? So that's what Prabhupada said, even when people have differences of opinion, it's just based on, you know, one person's base, it wants to save God's money, you know. And the other person wants God to have nice flowers. But it's all for the pleasure of God. So Prabhupada said we can appreciate this even when devotees have differences of opinion, because they're all arguing about what God's pleasure is, God's service. Anyway, so these are some points here. Okay, with that understanding, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.